So I was watching the developer conference at Apple, and in watching this conference happen, the guy is saying things like this would be the greatest thing ever. And so he says when he's introducing the iPhone 8 and the 8 Plus, our intention has always been to create something so magical, so powerful, so that the very hardware virtually disappears. Introducing the iPhone 8, the Apple executive, Phil Schiller, said the device, quote, improves on everything we love about the iPhone. Yeah. I mean, the iPhone 8, I mean, it has a 4.7-inch display, and it has an A11 Bionic chip, and it has a 12-megapixel camera. It has the ability to use augmented reality. And as this was happening, I was texting my cousin. My cousin is a software developer. And I'm texting my cousin, and he's firmly anti-Apple. I mean, firmly. And so I'm just like, hey, bro, they said it's got an A11 Bionic chip. Now, I don't know what that means. But he sends me a link that tells me that Samsung had that chip 2 years ago. And I'm like, no, bro. But they say they've got this incredible glass. It's going to be some of the best glass ever on a phone. He sends me another link. And it says that Apple is buying their glass from Samsung. I'm like, no, but you don't understand. And I just go through, and about five more times I sent him updates about what was going to be on the new Apple iPhone. And he sends me five more links to tell me that this is old technology. So then I'm watching, and Apple introduces this 8. Then they go on and talk about some other things. And then in a matter of 5 minutes, Apple does what only Apple can do. They made the iPhone 8 absolutely irrelevant in 5 minutes by introducing the iPhone 10. I just thought the dude said it was going to be everything that everyone ever wanted. And in 5 minutes, you got rid of it. It's completely out of date already. So I'm watching this, and I come to find out you're watching the whole new Super Retina glass, which is actually AKA Samsung Galaxy Glass. And I'm watching all this, and I realize that for the low, low mortgage of $1,149, you too could have the iPhone 10. And I'm watching all of this, and I'm thinking, man, we're just always after that next thing. Now, here's the thing. I had a special interest in this because I have not upgraded my phone since the iPhone 6. And Christy and I had been on similar plans and similar times. Actually, we have a grandfathered plan from like 15 years ago. And I feel like I'm getting one up on my provider, but I don't think I am. And so we have this all extreme everything kind of plan, and so we just keep staying. But I decided not to upgrade when Christy did, because I was like, well, I'll just wait till the next one comes out. So I was watching this to find out if I should upgrade. But now that I know I have to cut off my arm, I don't think I'm going to do that. But I wanted to show you that there's a third option. There's another option that came out recently for a phone. And it's this. It's called the Light Phone. The Light Phone. Do you guys know what it does? It makes phone calls. How cool is that? The Light Phone, you essentially buy it. It doesn't need its own plan. But what it does is it cuts down all the distraction. You can leave your smartphone and take the dumb phone. And if you need anything, you can make a call. But it doesn't distract you from the relationships and the time and the energy. And so the guy who wrote, the developer for the Light Phone, he says this: our phones have become a nervous habit, our invisible crutch. We find ourselves reaching for them without even thinking. We love their illusion of productivity and stimulation that is socially acceptable to abuse. Multitasking is a myth. It's addictive and it's exhausting. It is glorified procrastination. When we consume so fast, there is no way we can appreciate anything. And appreciation is what gives our lives meaning and purpose. Technology should help us to appreciate life more. It should serve and not enslave us. We don't want to buy more stuff.
To be told that we're not enough by our feeds, or to be tracked and reduced to some data point? No, we're not anti-technology, but we are human. And we're taking our lives back. This is a secular developer. This wasn't at a Christian conference. This was a developer of a new product that just said, you know what? Going for more is becoming exhaustive. Going for the next thing, going for the bigger thing, going for the faster thing. It's just becoming exhausted. And so a secular person in the world of gadgetry and technology understands this, that the pursuit of the next thing is often the last thing that we need. The pursuit of the next thing is often the last thing that we really need. If you and I, we say, Lord, I want to know my path to purpose. I want to know what you have for me. I want to know how you've designed me, how you've made me. I want to become the man or woman of God. The John 10:10 life you've given, Jesus said that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. How do I live out my life with purpose? And how do I live out a life of abundance? You see, the world believes that living out an abundant life means the accumulation of more stuff, going after the next thing. But what the abundant life is in the Christian world is to live out of an abundance, an overflow by the relationship of God, to live out the Spirit who lives and walks and has His being and has His way in your life, living out of that abundance. So I become every bit the tollywogus that God designed me to be. And I reflect into the world the abundant, the overflow life of Jesus. And so for many of us, and we say, Lord, I just want more purpose in my life. I want more meaning. I want more value in my life. I don't want to continue to get on the soapbox of having to go and to build. I don't want to get in the rat race. I don't want to have to go for more all the time. It's exhausting. The pursuit of the next thing is often the last thing that we need. While the world is chasing the next, the best, the greatest, the biggest, the most, there's a different picture presented by the gospel of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, if you have it, I would love for you to turn there. Philippians chapter 2 gives us an image of what it is to live an abundant life. And it's not pursuing the next thing. By the way, I found out this week I was asked to do an endorsement for Dr. Katz's new book, The Power of Purpose, and it's all about the Philippians. It's all about the book of Philippians, and it was hilarious because they introduced the Power of Purpose book right before I was to preach, and so I said, wow, this is awkward. I'm going to preach on what this man's entire book is about. But it turned out okay. Here we go. Philippians chapter 2. Let's look and ask the Lord, Lord, how can I live out an abundant life, especially if I'm looking for the next thing all the time? The scripture says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection. Can you say any? Any. If there's any of this, if any of this makes sense to you, complete my joy or make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Have this mind, church. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Can we all say nothing? Nothing. Do nothing. That about covers it, right? Do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Think this way. You know, if you're in Christ, if you have any encouragement from faith, if this Christian thing means anything to you, align your mind with this thought. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Have this in mind. Have the mind of Christ. If you're jotting notes, you might write this down. My best upgrade is a downgrade. My best upgrade is a downgrade. Maybe I don't need the next thing. And maybe it's not just technology. Maybe it's a relationship or a home. What am I pursuing? What do I believe will be next that makes me happy and content? What is it that I'm chasing? And maybe I'm going to find my next upgrade at the bottom of my downgrade. When I begin to back away, when I begin to let God be God, when I begin to take my hands off the wheel, when I begin to see Him for who He is, when I begin to bow in worship like I really genuinely mean it, maybe my next upgrade is actually a downgrade. You see, in chapter 2, verse 1, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy, being of the same mind, same love, the full accord, and of one mind. This was the John 17. Those of you, you can scribble notes on your side. John chapter 17. It's Jesus' prayer at the end of his ministry. And this is the one prayer that you and I can answer from the mouth of our Savior. It's unity. It's for us to come together, centered around the gospel. Unity. Do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility. Can you say humility? Can I just tell you what humility is? Humility is when you've played basketball in a summer league and you get to Labor Day and you invite your wife and your children to come out and watch the championship game. And every week you come home from playing summer basketball and you say, babe, I'm really good. Like, I know I'm older and out of shape, but man, I'm hitting 6 or 7 shots a week and we only go to 21. And so I was coming home. And so I said, babe, you need to come out. And Labor Day, everybody's going to be around. They're having a cookout. And man, all the attention's going to be on that basketball game. And I'm just saying, your husband is pretty good. And so this is humility. So they come around. And what happens is that all the pool like makes a big deal about it. Like everybody comes around the edge of the court, and there's a couple of hundred people, and they pick which team they're going to cheer for, and they start screaming, and it's kind of like Harlem, New York, but with white people. So it's not. I've played in both places, so this one's really nothing like Harlem. So, but it's a basketball game, and so humility is when you're playing against some 16-year-olds. On the other side, I don't know how they got in. I think their dads are on the team. And they start a fast break. And you're at the top of the key. And so you begin to run backwards. Now, when I say you begin to do so, I mean you tell your mind that your mind tells your body, body, I want you to run fast backwards. And your body's like, no problem. We used to do that when we were 16. And then as you begin to run backwards, you trip over an imaginary line, and there are hundreds of people standing around, and you tumble backwards over yourself, and they make a layup on you. Now, that, my friends, if that were to ever have happened, hypothetically speaking, that would be humility. So the scripture says, with that kind of mindset, like with being humbled, in humility, consider others more important than yourself. No matter how you feel you might be, don't chase feeling more important. Don't chase everyone else's accolades. Don't chase trying to be better and at the top of the heap. If you're standing on garbage, it's still garbage. And so God has called us to chase after humility, not to chase after being on top, not to chase after being the best. I mean, humility was when I reached for a remote on my couch last year and I pulled my back out. Like, that's humility. Like, age gives you something. I think when you're young, you think, well, older people are humble just because they, you know, they're just older. But it's really not. It's because they've stumbled and fallen over. They pulled their back out reaching for a remote. After a while, you realize your body's not going to do what you want it to do, so you calm down. But what if we could all get a hold of the Lord's humility and our best upgrade was a downgrade? You see, it says if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any comfort from love, if there's any participation in the Spirit. You see, many of us, we need to ask ourselves, where am I getting my encouragement? Am I getting encouragement in Christ? How about my comfort? What makes me feel good? Many of us, we run to other things to find us comfort. We run to other people. We run to addictions. We run to food. We run to things to find our comfort place. But how many of us are getting our comfort from the love of God? How about participation? We participate in groups and activities to have a sense of belonging. How many of us will participate with the Spirit of God and what God is doing today? How many of us will voluntarily sign up and say, Lord Jesus, move in my life. Holy Spirit, have your way in me. How many of us will participate with the Spirit of God? You see, Jesus was equality with God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in all of eternity past forever. He had no need. But he did not consider that equality something to be chasing. And so he became a servant. And this is the mind, this is the same mind, the same love, the one accord that we're supposed to have. Verse 5 says, have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now talk about this downgrade. Talk about this downgrade. He emptied himself. He's God. God emptied himself. God became a servant. God became flesh. God humbled himself. God became obedient. Can you imagine the complexity of that? Like for all of eternity, just being God, you don't have to be obedient to anyone or anything. But Jesus became obedient to the Father, not doing anything outside of the Father's will, became obedient. Many of us, we still haven't learned how to become obedient to authorities. We don't want to. Our flesh fights. Became obedient. God died. Not only did he die, he died an atoning death on an executioner's cross. Listen, the downgrade was the upgrade. In the kingdom of economy, the way up is down. In the kingdom economy, in God's economy, the way up is down. And so if we're talking about our path to our purpose, if we're trying to find out who we are in Christ, maybe the upgrade we need is a downgrade. Maybe we need to look at our lives and just say, Lord, am I reflecting this in the way that I live? Or am I pursuing the upgrade in the flesh? Am I pursuing trying to put my interests above others? I've found, church, and I'm not saying this because it's preacher talk, but it's sincere. I've found in those times when I'm the most humble, the most broken, the most open before God, the most willing to listen to the Spirit of God, that is when God has chosen to make the upgrade. That is when God has chosen to make moves on my behalf that I couldn't have made in the flesh. But many of us, we try to live out the flesh and then we check in on the weekends. And the Spirit of God is calling and compelling you, no longer be a weekend warrior. Live every single day where you're surrendered to the Spirit of God, and He'll lift you up. In the kingdom economy, the way up is down. Isaiah 57:15, it should be on the screen. For thus saith the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit. Did you catch that? God said, I dwell in the high and the holy place. And where? And also with him or her, him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit. to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. God says, listen, I dwell in the heavenly places and I dwell in the lowly spirit and the contrite heart. The way up is down. James 4, 8 to 10 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, O sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Why? Humble yourself before the Lord. And He will do what? Exalt you. We seek after the upgrade in the flesh. We want to get it our way. We have an agenda. We have a drive. We have an ambition. We have a way things are supposed to go. And God, if you're not on my planet, my time, and my convenience, then I'm going to be disappointed. And I'm going to ask, is God with me? And He says, no. It's the opposite. The way up is down. If you'll just repent, if you'll find yourself humbled before the throne of a mighty God, it'll be He who lifts you up. It'll be He who fills you. It'll be He who will exalt you. Verse 9 says this, Philippians 2, verse 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him. Every time you see the word therefore, you ask, what is it? Therefore, you have to. And so you go and you say, okay, everything that's about to follow is because Jesus humbled Himself. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name. Why? So that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What we see in this is that you handle your posture. Let God handle your position. You handle your posture before God. You wake up every day and you say, Lord, I'm not out to push my position on people. I'm not out to make myself great. I'm out to make You great. I'm out to make myself humble today. I'm about to put myself in the right place. There is one God and I'm not Him. And so, Lord, I'm going to handle my posture. Today I'm going to walk and I'm going to walk in obedience. I'm going to walk in humility and I'm going to seek to live as though other people are better than me. And in that, I believe that like Jesus, You will exalt me to the positions and the places and among the people that You see fit. And so, Lord, instead of my upgrade being going out and trying to build the latest and greatest and be, what I'm going to do, Lord, is I'm going to live out the fullness of who You've called me to. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to do it with humility. And I'm going to do it believing that Your heart is with the lowly. Your heart is with the contrite. You take up heaven and You take up residency in men and women who will be humble before You. And so, Lord, I'll control. I'll worry about my posture. I'll let You handle my position. As we close, look at these verses that support this. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. God's saying, I've got you. If you'll be humble, if you'll live the abundant life where I fill you up and you live out of the overflow, I've got you. Why can you trust that? Because I care for you. The world tells us that if you're humble, if you're meek, if you consider others above yourself, then you're just going to get run over and left behind. The Lord says, no. I control the org chart, and I've got you. You lift others up. You live humbly, and let me worry about your position. Luke 14, 11. For everyone who exalts himself will what? Will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Psalm 3, 3. You, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. You protect me. You lift me up even when I'm down. Matthew 23, 12, as if it needed to be repeated. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Now, I could see if it was just one random verse and you went home today saying, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to buy into that. But when you look at the whole of Scripture, when you look up, down, left, and right of Scripture, there is a clear pattern to the calling of God on our lives. And that is that if we will be humble, He will worry about our positioning. Why? Because He cares for you and He cares for me. As we think about an upgrade today, maybe today would be a downgrade. Maybe we would come to the place to where we would humble ourselves before the sight of the Lord. Maybe we would learn what the carpet in our homes smell like because we will be in prayer and humility. Every year there's going to be a new phone. You can bet on that. And every single day of your life, your flesh will crave for more. Every day, you're going to have an opportunity to have an upgrade by having the downgrade. Make much of Jesus. Make less of yourself. And choose nothing but Jesus of your life. You're looking for your purpose. Let part of your purpose be humility. Let the Lord go before you. Let the Lord spill in out of overflow of your life. Surrender yourself and say, Lord, you know better than me. And I'm going to try this humility thing. What does it say about anxiety? Cast all your anxieties on Him. If we look at our anxieties, many of our anxieties, many of our stress points are in the pursuit of the next. I need the job. I need the house. I need the relationships. I need new friends. And many of these are justifiable things that we would look and just say, yeah, in the natural, that is next. However, if you understand that your life will always have a next, that'll help you to understand that maybe the very best thing for you is to focus on a downgrade. Lift up Jesus. Consider others above yourself and let the Lord build you up. Now listen, in your profession, go be great. We need great teachers who love Jesus. We need great doctors. We need great lawyers. We need great men and women who are working at factories. We need, the Christian life needs witnesses in all these arenas. I'm not saying do your job less. I'm just saying be humble more. Maybe your next upgrade is a downgrade. Let's pray.